Hello and welcome to The Principal Source. I'm your host, Brandon Weldon, and I'm joined again today by Andrew Mosier, the school administrator of Westchester Christian School. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. I know to everybody out there who's listening, it's been a while since we've recorded a podcast. We've been trying to get some work done. Things have been busy at school. We actually just got back from our senior trip. Both Andrew and I went with our seniors. So it's been a little busy and we haven't been able to get things in. But hopefully we're able to get to you today and get this out in pretty quick fashion. What do we kind of have on the docket today?
Well, I think in every podcast we have mentioned this idea for the need of discipleship. And we've talked about a focus on discipleship. Mm-hmm. We talked about, I know, with what's different and why, you know, why choose a Christian school. But we haven't really talked through what it means to create a culture of discipleship in a school setting. So I thought that today it would be good for us just to take some time and walk everyone through what it means to have a discipleship focus in a Christian school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know at Westchester Christian, that's what our mission is. And so it'd be good to kind of discuss that a little bit. So our question for today is, how do you build a culture of discipleship in a Christian school? And so, Andrew, you kind of have six thoughts that you want to present and kind of expound on a little bit today.
Yeah, first thing I should say is, one, we're not speaking out of expertise. Mm-hmm. It's not true. Like, okay, we have this model, we've perfected it, we know it works, follow our model. That's not at all where we're at. I'd also say this is not an exhaustive list. There are mm-hmm. so many more things, but these are kind of building blocks mm-hmm. That I think are important as you begin creating a culture of discipleship. The way I would liken it is if you wanted to grab coffee with me and we sat down and you said, okay, tell us about your school, share with us what you've done to create a culture of discipleship. What are you doing? What are you learning? These would be the things I would share, the first six that come into my mind.
Yeah. So as a quick overview, just so you kind of get the whole picture, and then we'll kind of go back in and look at each one of these. But here are the six thoughts for building a culture of discipleship. Number one, look at yourself. Number two, set a priority on the Word of God. Number three, set a priority on the gospel. Number four, pray for a divine love for your students. Number five, spend time with your students. And then number six, connect God's word to their life. So Andrew, can you kind of expound a little bit on number one, look at yourself? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so this morning I was reading a book by Paul Tripp called Parenting. And in the book, he had this quote, "No one gives grace better and more willingly than a person who has admitted that he desperately needs it himself." And so I think if you're going to begin by creating a culture of discipleship in your school, you have to look at yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to realize that you're more like your students than unlike your students. And we may not like that, especially if you teach junior high.
Yeah, we may not want to admit that very often.
But it's the reality.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to create a culture of discipleship, if I'm going to be a disciple maker in my school as a teacher, I need to begin in my own heart. I need to begin in my own life. Allowing God's word to impact my heart, allowing God's word to impact my everyday, my interactions with my students and my colleagues. And then out of that comes the overflow of making disciples of Jesus. So first step, I need to be looking at myself. I need to look at myself in the mirror. Where do I need to change? It's the same idea. You don't want to be getting the speck out of your brother's eye when you have this huge beam in your own eye. Mm-hmm. And so that's the same idea here. Begin by looking at yourself.
Yeah, because I feel like so many leaders can begin to look at their teachers or look at the students. Mm-hmm. But really, it has to start all right up at the top. And so leadership has to look at themselves.
I would say, I often say it this way, leadership, whenever something goes wrong, mm-hmm. you need to look in the mirror first mm-hmm. and look out the window second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then whenever something goes right, you need to look out the window first and look in the mirror second. Yeah. And that's not often how we do it, but mm-hmm. that's where it starts. We're going to create this culture of discipleship.
Yeah, definitely. I think a good first point to start with. So then number two is set a priority on the Word of God.
I think this is incredibly important because it's something that we miss, but we think we're getting it right. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we think, well, I gave them the Bible, or, well, that's a biblical truth, or I told them what to do. Mm-hmm. But we don't actually give them the Bible.
Yeah, it typically ends up just being kind of our thoughts or
right.
what we remember it being.
Exactly.
Or, you know.
Exactly. And I love 2 Peter 1:3 because in that passage he writes, "As according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So in God's word, we have everything we need for life and godliness. So God's word is full. It's mm-hmm. complete. And so I need to be giving that to my students. Mm-hmm. I need to be telling them, this is where it's from. This is what God's word says, and then connecting it to their life, which we'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. But we need to actually give them the Bible. Don't give them your thoughts about it. Don't give them a half memorized version that you've paraphrased. Give them the word.
Yeah.
And that's what's most important. That's what's most needed for them.
Yeah, that's what's going to transform their lives, really.
And I think a lot of times we don't, if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't give the word because we don't know the word.
Yeah, no, very true.
And that's a hard truth to swallow. It's a hard thing to say, like, oh, I don't know it like I should. But if we're going to give the word, it requires that we're in it. It requires that we're memorizing it, that we know it. And so you got to set a priority on the word of God.
Yeah. And even if you may know what it is when you're talking to a student, I mean, actually take the time to go back and maybe look for that. And then go back to that student later and say, you know what, hey, here's what we were talking about, but here's where it is in the word of God. Because they really, if they don't appreciate it at that point in time, they will later. And it is really that effective.
It's been neat. And I obviously can't share any details, but I've seen God work when I've been working with a student. Maybe it's a discipline situation and they've mm-hmm. come to my office to talk to me. And it's very interesting because I can talk to them. I can ask them great questions. Mm-hmm. But then it's when I open my Bible and I say, hey, why don't you read this passage for me?
Yeah.
Often that's when they break. Hebrews talks about that God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's mm-hmm. powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to not deny that power. We need to just set a priority on the word of God.
Good. Yeah. So we'll keep moving. So number three is set a priority on the gospel.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a difference here because it's very easy to say you need to do this because God's word mm-hmm. says this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie. It says, don't lie. So don't lie. And we do that, but what we actually do is we create these hypocrites. We create Pharisees
mm-hmm.
Because they do all of the right things, but for all the wrong motives. And so we have to be giving the gospel continuously. I think part of that, we often view the gospel for salvation and not for sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And it is for both. And True. So you need to be giving the gospel to your students because if they aren't saved, if they aren't believers, it's going to be presenting them with the truth that they are in need of a savior, and it's going to present them with that truth so that they can make that decision for Christ. If they are a believer, that's the power source. That's the motivation to live out the Christian life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be presenting the gospel all the time and just constantly set a priority on giving the gospel to our students.
Yeah, definitely. We don't want to turn our students into kids who are just solely focused on the outward.
Right.
And as teachers and as leaders, we're so trying to pour into them the word of God,
mm-hmm.
we're really just kind of trying to modify their behavior.
Right.
But God cares about their heart, and that's what the gospel is all about, is God's trying to have a relationship with each and every student.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to set that priority on the gospel. So number four, then, is pray for a divine love for your students. So can you expound on that one a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ashamed to admit that there are times when I can view my students, and frankly, I can view my staff as obstacles to what I want to get done. Maybe as a teacher, you have this really great lesson, you have this knowledge you want to just impart to your students, and then they just goof off the entire time. And that's really frustrating. And I can view them as an obstacle. Staff, maybe I think I have this great idea and I want to implement this in our school and it's going to be awesome. And then I go to staff meeting and present it and everyone just laughs. And that's happened. We've had that happen.
Just totally get shot down.
Exactly. And that can make me angry. That can, you know, force me to get upset.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I need a divine love.
Mm-hmm.
I need a divine love for my student that says, you know what? They're lacking character right now. And that's not personal against me. That's ultimately against God.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to shepherd them through that. And I know for me, that has taken time to say, God, I need to love these students. I need to see past their failures. I need to see past the ways they upset me or the ways I take it personal, and give me a love for them
mm-hmm.
so that I can shepherd them like you shepherd me. Mm-hmm. Paul is a great model of this. We've been, you know, looking at 1 Thessalonians at church, and Paul continuously is telling the believers in Thessalonica, I love you. I love you. I want to see God grow you. Mm-hmm. I want to see God do this in your life. I'm praying for you. I love you. And that only comes from God.
Yeah.
And so we need to be praying for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you'll see your students as obstacles
yeah.
and not as opportunities for God to work through you, allowing you to be an instrument of change in their life.
Yeah. yeah, there's only so much we can do as human beings sometimes, and we need that divine love, for sure. Okay, so we need to keep moving here. Number five, spend time with your students.
Yeah, I think it's important that your students see you inside school and outside school. They need to see you in different settings, because you think about Jesus' life. So Jesus with his disciples, they're eating together. Mm-hmm. They're walking together. I have to imagine there were jokes that they had together, or things that caused them to laugh, you know, at each other, or they're a group of guys, and it's just going to happen. And so it's spending time with them. And we need to do the same thing with our students. We need to spend time with them.
Yeah.
They need to know that we're real people, and they need to see us for who God has made us. And we need to be able to, then from that, you're able to connect God's truth to their life because they've seen it in your own life one-on-one.
Yeah.
And so I think it's incredibly important to spend time with your students. It also develops love for them, and just to have fun with them.
Yeah.
And again, it's part of that. If you're always in the classroom and you're always just dealing with them in that kind of a setting, it's often difficult to have that love for them that will come when you spend time with them.
Yeah. Really, definition of discipleship would be just life on life.
And yeah.
So we can't expect to build a culture of discipleship if the only time we see them and interact with our students is just in the classroom.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, and even just as an example, even just last week, we were on the senior trip with these all bunch of the guys and a couple girls in our senior class. And they got to see us in a very different light.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were, you know, sleeping obviously in the same room, there were bunk beds and everything, and so some interesting things. And
we won't talk about any of that.
But yeah, it's fun to be able to spend time with them outside. They get to see us for who we really are, and we get to share some other things too with them that we don't typically get to share. So that is definitely important.
Yeah.
Okay, and last one, number six: connect God's word to their life.
Yeah, if I could just encourage the teachers out there in this way, I would say it, that I would encourage you to model connecting God's word through your own life. So what I mean by that is you need to share what God is teaching you. Take a moment at class and say, hey, I was in the word this morning, and when I was reading God's word, it was talking about this. And so God showed me that in my own life, I need to grow in this area. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we think, oh, I can't do that, because then they'll discredit me, or they'll see I have failures and I can't do that. Well, no, they're going to see that you're a real person. And they're going to be able to connect with you, and they're going to see that you're taking God's word, you're applying it to your own life. It's important for you. And it's not only important to them, like you dispensing truth, but you are also dispensing truth into your own heart from God's word.
Yeah.
And so you can model that for them. I think that's incredibly important. I remember my first year as administrator, I got something really wrong in a discipline situation, and it bugged me all summer. And that next year, after the first or second day of school, I went to a student and I just said, hey, I need to talk with you. And so I brought him in. And I apologized to them. I asked their forgiveness because I had gotten it wrong, and I needed to ask their forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the look of shock on their face. Like, I can't believe an adult is asking for my forgiveness, but it needed to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that brought respect from that student. It also helped that student get over some things, I think, spiritually. Yeah. And it also helped see, like, okay, these are real people, and the word of God is powerful in their life, and it can be powerful in mine as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's incredibly important as we model it.
Yeah, definitely. I think too often we can make the Bible out to just be this pristine thing that we leave up on the shelf and that we take off, whether that we infuse it in our curriculum or whatever, and okay, we're teaching the Bible, but we need it to just be off the shelf all the time and just in our lives and constantly sharing it with our students.
Yeah.
It's so much more applicational than just trying to teach with it all the time. So it needs to be a part of our lives and sharing with their lives.
Is applicational a word?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not an English teacher, so out there. but we'll keep moving anyway. So anyway, any final closing thoughts?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One, I would just encourage you, parents that are listening to this, like, oh, you've been talking about teachers, you've been talking about school leadership. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage parents too, as you can take these thoughts and apply them to your family as well. You can apply them to your interaction with your students or your kids, sorry. not just students. Mm-hmm. And then just a really great resource that's really helped me, it's helped our school as we create a culture of discipleship, is Paul Tripp's resource, Your Christian School, A Culture of Grace. It's a DVD series that you can watch. Mm-hmm. And so I'd encourage you, check that out. Look into that. It's been a really great and helpful resource for us as we try to create this culture of discipleship.
Yeah, and as we've discussed these six thoughts, obviously there could be things that we've missed. As we said, it's not exhaustive. So below, share in the comments ways that you've helped create a culture of discipleship, maybe in your school or in your family, whatever would be a help to everybody.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.